Philippians chapter 3, and I want to draw your attention to verse 10, a very familiar text of Scripture, I'm sure, to most of us. And I want to preach on the subject, Paul's fervent desire. Paul's fervent desire. Look at verse 10 of Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Let's bow in a word of prayer again and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider this text and this subject. Father in heaven, we come before thee again in Jesus' precious name. We do pray, Lord, for those that are bereaved. We pray for the Edwards family. We commit them to thee, Lord. We ask the Heavenly Father that they might know in a very special way that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. Pray especially for our dear sister, Mrs. Edwards, and we ask the Lord that you would comfort her in the passing of a brother. O God, we just commend them to thee. Lord, bless us now as we turn to the Word of God. We thank thee for this challenging text of Scripture that we have before us. And we pray, Lord, that as we preach from this passage of Scripture, that we might do the text justice. For Lord, there's so much here in this text. And we just pray, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us and help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. But help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. And may the word of God encourage and bless and challenge our souls this Lord's day. Bless your own people. O God, we thank thee for each one that's saved in this meeting. We praise thee for the congregation here in Bethel. And we pray, Lord, that you would lead us on with yourself, Lord, this year, that we might grow from strength to strength, spiritually, defeat the devil in our lives and in the church. O God, we pray that you'll bind Satan and bind the strong man. We pray, Lord, that this year might be the year of revival, might be the year when God will come in a special way and pour out his Holy Spirit upon the church. Lord, do it for your own glory. Lord, help us, Lord, to walk with thee and this year. Lord, day by day, help us to cast our burden upon the Lord and encourage us. Bless us now, we pray thee. Remember those in our congregation who are not saved, Lord. Save them. Lord, this is the work of God. We freely confess that. Salvation is of the Lord. But Lord, help us to be faithful to their souls and preaching the gospel to them, exhorting them to turn from sin, seek the Lord, and find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Paul spoke these words, the words of our text in Philippians 3 verse 10, after being saved for many years. Now it's very important that we understand that before we go any further. The apostle here is speaking as a Christian, and he's speaking as a seasoned Christian. Paul is speaking as one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior for quite a number of years. Indeed, Paul, as he spoke these words, was an old saint of God. However, although the apostle is drawing near to the end of his life upon this earth, he has only one burning and fervent desire. And Paul reveals that burning and fervent desire to us in the words of our text. Look at it again. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul here in his Christian life is expressing a desire to walk with Christ in a deeper and a more passionate way. You see, after Paul got saved on the Damascus Road, that was not the end of Paul's walk with God. Indeed, that was only the beginning. Every day Paul was saved, he wanted to learn and to know more and more of Christ. And although he has been saved now for many years, Paul still recognizes that he has still yet more to learn about the Christ of God. Thus, the apostle expresses this fervent desire. Child of God, do you and I know anything of Paul's fervent desire in our own Christian life? Now, this is a challenging question for each and every one of us who are saved and who profess the name of Christ. Is it our passionate desire day by day to want to know Christ in a deeper way, in a more fuller way? Oh, I pray that it will be. And I pray as we look into 2015 that this fervent desire that Paul expresses here will be our fervent desire as we seek to live upon this earth. Very simply today, as we come to consider this subject and look at this text of Scripture, I want you to notice four things. And I pray that, again, the Lord will take His word and speak to all of our hearts, especially those of us who are saved, those of us who are Christians. Now, there'll be a word in season, as we're going to find out just in a moment, for those who are not saved. But I pray that the Lord will write these words upon our hearts this day. First of all, I want you to notice that Paul desired to know more of Christ. Look what it says in verse 10. Paul says that I may know Him. Underline those words. You know, the greatest blessing in life is to know Christ. The greatest blessing in the Christian life is to know more of Christ. All knowledge is vain if you have not the knowledge of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. This knowledge that Paul is speaking about here, of course, is a heart knowledge. It is a knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ in a personal way. Of course, it is possible to know about someone without actually knowing them, and you would know that. For example, I know all about the Queen of England, but I have never personally met her. My friend, as we are gathered in God's house this Lord's Day, do you know Christ in a personal way? In other words, are you saved? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Is Christ your friend? Is He your Savior? Is He your Redeemer? Is He your God? I want you to keep your hand in Philippians chapter 3, and I want you to turn over to Jeremiah chapter 9 for a moment. And I want you to take a look at what is said in verse 23 and 24. Now, here's a word in season for us all, but if you're not saved, here's a word in season for you especially. My friend, let me emphasize it again before we say anything else. You need to know the Lord. And the only way you can know the Lord is by accepting Him as your own and personal Savior. You must repent of your sin and by faith trust Christ as your Redeemer. Your greatest obligation today is to find Christ, is to know Him, is to accept Him as your own and personal Savior. Look at Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, saith the Lord. Do you know the Lord today? Can you look back to a day when you were saved by God's grace and redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb? Oh, my prayer is that if you don't know Christ this afternoon, that you will come to know Him. Whom to know is life eternal. Knowing Christ means that you're going to heaven. Knowing Christ means that you'll never be in hell. Knowing Christ means that your sins are forgiven. Knowing Christ means that you're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, and that you'll never be lost for all eternity. However, in our text in Philippians 3 verse 10, as we have pointed out already, Paul has known the Lord as his personal Savior for many years. And yet, he still expresses a desire to know Christ more. Although Paul has been saved now for a long time, his fervent desire at this point in his life is to know the Lord Jesus more intimately, more passionately, and in a deeper and a fuller way. Oh, child of God, what a challenge there is there for your life and for my life. Is this our desire? No matter how long you've been saved, maybe some of you have only been saved a few years. Maybe others, and I know you have been saved many years. Some have been saved for 40, 50 years, maybe even longer. Well, is it your desire today, no matter how long you've been saved, to want to know Christ in a more fuller way? To know more of the Savior. There's only one way that you and I can get to know Christ more fully, and that is to spend more time in His presence. And that means, of course, reading the Scriptures, which teach us of Christ, and seeking also His face around the throne of grace in prayer. And as we do so, as we study the Word of God, and as we spend time in prayer, the Holy Spirit will reveal Christ to us in a greater way. Oh, child of God, if we want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ, if we want to know more of Him, then we've got to spend time with the Savior. In Jeremiah 29, verse 12 and 13, we read these words, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." You cannot get to know anyone if you're not in their company, if you're not in their presence. The only way to get to know someone is to spend much time with them. The more time you spend with them, the more you will get to know them. Of course, if you love someone, you will want to be in their presence more. Child of God, we're looking out into the new year. This year, we need to spend more time with Christ. We need to learn more of Him. We need, therefore, to read and study His Word more. We need to spend more time around the throne of grace in prayer. It's a challenge to us, but we'll never get to know Christ more unless we spend time with Him. How much time do we spend in the presence of Christ, around His Word, and around the throne of grace in prayer? Paul, at the end of his life, just think about it. He's the old man now. He has spent many years serving the Lord. My, if there's a man who knows the Lord, then it's this man. And yet, he has this fervent desire that I may know Him. That I might know Him. Oh, I pray that that will be the cry of our hearts this day. You know, it is said of the Apostle John that he was the beloved disciple. The Bible says that Jesus loved John. Now, the truth is, the Lord Jesus loved all the disciples. But John was the one that, you remember, leaned on His breast. John not only always seemed to be in Christ's presence, but he always seemed to be the closest disciple to Christ. Why? Because John desired to be as near to Christ as possible because he loved the Lord. Oh, child of God, our desire ought to be to love Him more, to follow Him more, to see Him more, to know Him more, to be with Him more. How long each day do we spend in the presence of Christ? What a challenging question. But look at the text again, because the Apostle Paul goes on. And this is what he says. Notice, secondly, Paul desired to know more of Christ's power. Verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. What a statement that is. Child of God, I've said already this is a familiar text. You've read it many times. Do you ever stop to consider that phrase? The power of His resurrection. When we think of the power of Christ's resurrection, we think of a power that conquered death hell and the grave. When the Lord Jesus rose again the third day, he proved to the world that he was the eternal Son of God and that all power in heaven and on earth belonged to him. No one can overcome death and the grave outside of Jesus Christ. Now let me make that statement again. No one can overcome death and the grave outside of Jesus Christ. Christ alone overcame death. And this resurrection power of Christ has been bestowed upon the redeemed of God. Now think about that. Therefore, because Christ lives, we who are saved shall live also. And because he has conquered death, hell, and the grave, we as the saints of God will also conquer death, hell, and the grave. My, what an encouraging word that is. Child of God, death for us is an enemy that has been defeated. Hell for us is a place where we have been delivered from. And the grave is a place for us that holds no power. Why? Because of the power of Christ's resurrection. In John 11, verse 25 and 26, we read these words. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." What a tremendous statement the Lord Jesus Christ made in this passage of Scripture. You see, physical death and eternal death has no power over the saints of God because of the power of his resurrection. However, the Apostle Paul here in Philippians 3 verse 10 is desiring to know and understand more about this resurrection power of Christ. Now, this is quite remarkable. When you think of the personal knowledge that Paul had of the power of Christ's resurrection previously to this, Paul had spoken to Christ personally after the Savior's resurrection on the Damascus Road. Paul had met the resurrected Christ and had seen Christ's resurrection power demonstrated throughout his ministry many ways and many times. And yet Paul, after a life, listen, let me emphasize this. Paul, after a life of serving Christ, desires a deeper knowledge of the power of the Savior's resurrection. Child of God, what a blessing it is to know that the one who has saved us and redeemed us by his precious blood has power to deliver us from hell, death, and the grave because of his resurrection power. What a blessing it is to have this knowledge. Such knowledge gives us assurance of eternal life. Is it any wonder Paul wanted more of this knowledge? Oh, child of God, this knowledge will take away our fear of death and the grave. Isn't it wonderful to know that because Christ lives, we will live? Because he has risen again, we will never die eternally. Isn't it tremendous to know that we live in him and he lives in us? And praise God, no matter what happens to us in the future, the moment we leave this scene of time, it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. This ought to encourage us. This ought to strengthen us in our faith. And child of God, in this new year, what we need to do more of, we need to meditate more upon the resurrection power of the Son of God. The Lord Jesus is alive, and he's alive forevermore. Praise God. The Bible tells us that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for his people. Therefore, the next time you're down, remember that you have eternal life, and that life is in Christ. And the reason why you have eternal life is because of the power of the resurrection. Sinner, This is what Jesus Christ can do for you today. Not only can Christ, because of the power of his resurrection, deliver you from death, hell, and the grave, but he can and will give you the assurance of eternal life in your heart right now if you believe on him. If you believe on him. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 for a moment. It's a familiar passage, I'm sure, to most of us. But look exactly what it says. And if you're not saved, listen to these words. Now, these words will also encourage the saint of God. And if you're saved, I want you to underline them again in your Bible. Verse 3 of 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, or a living hope, or a sure hope. That's what it means. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. What a tremendous text of scripture that was. My, this was something that Paul was sure of, or certain of. Paul had the assurance and knowledge that he was going to heaven because of the power of his resurrection. And also, we see Peter has this assurance as well. Why has he this assurance? Because the Lord Jesus has risen again. Not only has the Savior died and paid the price of our redemption by shedding his precious blood upon the cross, but he lives. And because he lives, you and I, praise God, will never die eternally. We'll never die eternally. We'll never know what it is to be lost in hell. We'll never know what it is for our bodies to remain in the grave, because the day will come when even these old bodies will be resurrected by the power of his resurrection. Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul wanted to know more of the power of his resurrection? Is it any wonder that the apostle wanted to understand more of the resurrecting power of the Son of God? Child of God, without the power of his resurrection, we could not be saved. Without the power of his resurrection, we could not have the assurance that we're going to heaven. Without the power of his resurrection, we could not live a holy, victorious life upon this earth. Without the power of his resurrection, we could not serve God upon this scene of time. Is it any wonder that Paul desired more of this knowledge? Is it any wonder that Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection? Listen, dwell more on Christ. Learn more about him. And study more of his power in his resurrection. And you'll get more assurance. And you'll get more comfort. And your soul will be strengthened in him. You want your soul strengthened? Why is it that so many Christians seem to have little faith? Why is it that so many Christians seem to be stumbling along, worrying about everything? Is it because, and I throw this out to you, and I speak it to my own heart as well, is it because we, as God's people, fail to meet with Christ, recognize who he is, what he has done, what he is doing? Is it because we spend little time thinking upon these great truths that we have in the precious Word of God? Are these only doctrines to us? Oh, child of God, Paul here wants to know the Lord. He just doesn't want to know more about the Lord. He wants to know the Lord. And he wants to enter in. He wants to enter into the power of his resurrection. But notice the verse again. Time's going on. Take a look thirdly at Paul, that Paul desired to know more of Christ's sufferings. Look at verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, no one suffered more for the cause of Christ than the Apostle Paul, humanly speaking. The truth is, The true child of God will bear reproach for the name of Christ, and he will bear that reproach gladly. At least he should. Why? Because it is the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. Now, the word fellowship here, just listen very carefully, the word fellowship in our text means partnership. Therefore, when we suffer for being a Christian, we are in partnership with Christ. The suffering that Paul is speaking about here, I believe, is the sufferings that the Christian will endure because he or she is a Christian. Child of God, there's no greater honor than to suffer for your Christian faith, for your biblical faith. And when we suffer for the cause of Christ, we enter into the fellowship or the partnership of his sufferings. Now turn over, it's important that you see this, turn over to 1 Peter again, chapter 4, and take a look at verse 12 down to verse 16. Now read these verses carefully. It says in verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 4, Beloved, so he's speaking to the people of God. Here's Peter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you. You and I will be tried for our faith. As though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Therefore, every time we suffer as a Christian, we're entering into the sufferings of Christ. We're partners with Christ in these sufferings. That's what it says there. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. Don't suffer as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. In Philippians 3 verse 10, Paul desired to know more of the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul wanted to glorify Christ in his sufferings. Paul wanted to know more of what it meant to suffer and bear reproach for the name of Christ. There's another passage of scripture I want you to turn over to. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3 down to verse 7. And I want you to underline these verses in your Bible. Now, if you take these references down, you can look at them a little bit closer when you go home. Obviously, we haven't got the time to go into all these verses in-depthly, but let me just read them to you. Again, it's bringing out this theme that we're talking about here. Look at verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 1. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. So there's the suffering of the Christian again, suffering for their faith, suffering as a Christian, going through the trials of life, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now underline these words. Verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers, there's it again, as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. O child of God, all who are truly saved will suffer reproach for Christ in some way. We should glory in these sufferings, knowing that if we suffer for Christ, we will also reign with him. This is our consolation. You needn't turn to this reference, but let me read it to you. Romans 8, verse 17 and 18. Take a note of it. And if children, Here's Paul speaking to the people of God. And if we're children and we're the children of God, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. O child of God, you and I will suffer reproach for the name of Christ. The truth is that some suffer more reproach than others. There are those across this world today and they're imprisoned for their faith. They're really suffering for the cause of Christ. But you know, every child of God in some way, even in countries of liberty, even in countries of religious freedom, every child of God suffers some way for the cause of the Lord, being a Christian. And here we have Paul. And he has this fervent desire. He's the old man. Let me keep on emphasizing that. He has been saved for many years. And this is his fervent desire, that he may know the Lord more. That he may know more of the knowledge of Christ's power, resurrection power. That he might know more of the fellowship of his sufferings. And then take a look at the last phrase, for time is really away. Paul desired to be made more conformable unto Christ's death. Paul here expresses a desire to die more to self and to sin. That's what the phrase means. Paul here is speaking about the Christian's sanctification. And of course, sanctification is a work, not an act, a work of God's free grace in the life of the Christian. What does it mean to be made more conformable unto Christ's death? Well, Matthew Henry put it like this. Let me quote what Henry said. We are made conformable unto Christ's death when we die to sin. As Christ died for sin, when we are crucified with Christ, the flesh and affections crucified with Christ, the flesh and affections of it mortified, and the world is crucified to us, and we to the world, by virtue of the cross of Christ, this is our conformity to his death. In other words, child of God, do we have a desire for the work of sanctification to be done in our lives today in a deeper way than when we were first saved? Now, that's a challenging question. Are we growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ our Savior? Are we seeking to die more and more to sin each day and live more and more for Christ each day? Is this our fervent desire? In Galatians 2 verse 20, the Apostle Paul said this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul desired to be made more conformable unto Christ's death. The truth is that we'll never be sinlessly perfect until we get home to heaven. Now, I know that there are some Christians and they believe they can be sinlessly perfect. But I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And I don't believe that the scriptures teach it. The truth is that we will battle with sin until the day we go home to heaven. But that does not mean, child of God, that we should tolerate sin in our lives. And what Paul here is saying when he speaks about being conformable unto his death, he's speaking about dying to sin, knowing sins in our lives, turning away from sin day by day. That's the work of sanctification in our lives, the work. Dying to self and to sin. Is that our desire? Our fervent desire? You know, the truth is that there are some Christians and they play around with sin. You know why they play around with sin? It's because they're backslidden. They're backslidden. My friend, if you say you're saved and love the Lord, don't play around with sin. Samson played around with sin. And the Lord removed his strength. Sin removed Samson's strength from him. He wist not that the Lord had departed from him. That was that the strength of the Lord had departed from him. David played around with sin. And he ended up committing adultery with Bathsheba. And there are many Christians today and they play around with sin. Paul didn't want to play around with sin. Oh, his fervent desire, was to be made more conformable unto Christ's death. To die to sin. Child of God, is this our fervent desire? I pray that it will be in 2015 that we will want to know Christ more, that we will want to have a greater knowledge of his resurrection power, which will give us a greater assurance, and that we will have a greater knowledge of his sufferings, and that we will be made more conformable unto Christ's death. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts. Maybe there's someone here, you're not saved, you don't know the Lord in any shape, size, or form. You just don't know the Lord. My friend, you need to come to know Christ this day, because death is hastening on. Time is passing by. And you'll never get into heaven until you know the Lord. No matter how much wisdom you have or how much money you have, that verse in Jeremiah tells us, no matter what else you have in this world, it's worth nothing. The greatest gain in this world is knowing Christ. May you know him today by coming and accepting him as your Savior and as your Lord. Let's all pray.